Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sandbach Baptist Church. So today is our usual format of service. So we'll have some songs and some prayers and some readings, and then Alistair will bring his message before we close with a final song. So you just need to sit and relax and let the Spirit bless you today. And just to say that normally in the third Sunday, we would have our all-age service, but because it's our carol service next week, that's going to be the all-age service, so it's a normal format today. So we'll be having the collection partway through, and this week the stewards will be coming round during a video song, so you can stay seated for that. The bags are for the work of the church, and the pots are for the sponsor children, so feel free to pass, let the bags and the pots pass by, though it's entirely up to you whether you want to or when you want to. To give your gifts. At the end, we're having tea or coffee. I think that's right. Yep, tea and coffee at the end, served in the kitchen. If it's a bit tricky for you to get to the kitchen, just ask somebody around you to bring you a drink, and I'm sure they're happy to do that. Activities this week are, as normal, listed on the newsletter, which is emailed round to you. And incidentally, if you don't get that newsletter by email and you'd like it, then let Alistair know and he'll make sure that you're on the list. So BAP is on Monday as usual at Oasis, Tots and Co on Tuesday for our younger members, Encounter with God prayer time on Tuesday, and Wednesday is the Ladies Fellowship and the Bible study in the evening. And then on Thursday we've got our CTIS carol service, on the carols on the cobbles, 6 o'clock on the cobbles. There's loads of leaflets outside, and there'll be no use next week, so do grab some leaflets. Share them with your friends and let's get lots of people singing carols on the cobbles next Thursday, 6 o'clock in the evening. It's a really great, Sue's holding them up if you want to see what they look like. It's a really great opportunity, such a lovely time. So do invite people along to that. Saturday we've got our usual prayer meeting in the morning at Oasis next week, and then Sunday morning, as I say, is going to be our carol service, so it's in the morning this year, not the afternoon. Please invite your friends, family along. It's a very accessible service, great for kids, and it'd be lovely to have loads of people there. It's a really good time to bring carol service, to bring people who wouldn't normally go to church, and maybe to hear a little bit more about what Christmas is all about. Ian, do you want to say a few things?
Thank you. Just very quickly, you would have probably read that every year the churches together in Sandbach do a Christmas Day lunch at St Mary's, which we're doing again this year. And we always like to give a gift to our guests who come along on that day. If any of you were thinking about giving a gift, just up to a value of about £5, can you let me know after the service today? It's just that we need to start getting organised for buying any that we're short of. So if I can just ask that. And then secondly, out in the foyer when you came in, you may have noticed on the table there's lots of little crosses and gifts. Just give you a bit of background. These have all been made by one of our pantry members. She wanted to do something to kind of repay the kindness that's been shown to her by the pantry. And there's lots of really nice things there. And I just ask you to, as you leave, just have a look. And there's a tub there if you want to make a donation. You don't have to, but if you would like to, then everything raised will go to the pantry. So thank you.
And I think my last notice is just to say that we all never know what to do we, about our Christmas cards, and some share, some don't, and so what we're suggesting is, if you would like to send a Christmas card to the fellowship, just one, for everybody, suggesting you bring it along here, so maybe next Sunday morning, and then we will take the cards back to Oasis so that everybody can read them there, so that we're not writing loads of cards and feeling uncomfortable about who we send a card to and who we don't. Right, so let's just settle our minds now, close our eyes and just have a short prayer time. So I'm using some words which are from A Blessing for Today, adapted from one by Pete Grieg. May this day bring Sabbath rest to our hearts and our homes. May our peace and perspective be renewed in the busyness of this Advent season. May our hand be free enough from spending and acquiring to receive your gift. May a little of the wonder and the magic of Christmas awaken the child within us today. May God's word feed us and his spirit lead us into this day and this week and into our lives to come. Amen. Now it's the third Sunday of Advent, so we need to light three candles. So, Sarah, would you like to light some candles?
Right.
Three small ones. Thank you. Gosh, it soon goes, doesn't it? It doesn't seem 5 minutes since we just had one. Oh. Right, we're going to have our first song. So stand if you're able, but feel free to sit if you don't want to stand. And we're going to sing Christ Be Our Light, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
if you'd like to take a seat. And we're going to have our reading next, which is from Luke, and it's Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. The Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And Alistair will be speaking on that shortly, but we're going to have another song now. So again, if you'd either like to stand or stay seated if you prefer, and we're going to sing "It Was on a Starry Night." We've heard the serious version of the story. So I think, as it should have been an all-age service, we'll have a slightly more frivolous version of the story. And I might need some helpers for some visual expression here. So, this is Mabel. Mabel's day job is a doorstop, but occasionally she comes out for the job specs. So today, she is going to need some help. And she needs the help of two shepherds. So Christmas time, the old average tea towel comes into its own, doesn't it? So I need two shepherds. I'm thinking Howard and Darren might be good shepherds. And these were the curtain tie backs, which have also been repurposed. So there you go. And now open it out. I'll dress you.
I'll watch you.
No. Right, have a seat and guard Mabel. Make sure she doesn't wander off. You can have a seat. Now I need an angel, nice tall one, so I think Bernie might be a good angel. Got a little hat for you, a little halo. Just enhancing the halo you have already. Right, you if you want to go over there, right? And what I'm going to read is a poem. You may have heard it before. It's by Godfrey Rust called Gabriel's Revelation. So all you have to do is sit there and look like shepherds and angels. You don't have to do anything or say anything. Right. Shepherds, they say, were the fools of their day, the ones who were butts of the jokes. Fred Flintstone with sheep, Homer Simpson asleep, imperfectly ordinary blokes. They're nobody famous, just some ignoramuses anyone might string along. Neither pious nor holy, they take things slowly and often get much of it wrong. So they're out on the town, looking out on the down, looking over the town, feeling vaguely that life's passed them by, just minding their own, probably having a moan, when an angel gate crashes their sky. Well, the herdsman took fright at this startling sight. Some rustic expletives were spoken, while the seraph looked round the desolate ground and decided his sat-nav had broken. He'd expected to come to a media scrum for a major announcement like this, to communicate to the good and the great the arrival of endless bliss. Celebs should be present, not a handful of peasants on a night on a freezing moor. Such a strange target market for heralds to hark at. Yet, he'd seen something like it before. He'd been sent to appear somewhere north of Judea to an unmarried teenage maid with a tale so alarming he'd oozed his most charming. "My dear, you must not be afraid." He explained her behaviour had put her in favour with the heavenly powers that be, and to tell her bridegroom that she'd have to make womb for a special delivery. To the angel's surprise, she looked straight in his eyes and said, "Fine, but I don't figure how, because Joseph and I haven't..." He said, "We don't need to go into that now." He covered his fluster with angelic bluster. "Don't question the method. Believe. His strategy is still to accomplish his will, of which you could never conceive." He was struck by her youth and the staggering truth he had just so abruptly confided, when the girl bowed her head and quietly said, "Let it be as the Lord has decided." It was going quite well, though he then had to tell the fiancé and scared him to heck. A small jobbing builder who hardly fulfilled an ideal foster godparent spec. Now the 9 months are through and the baby is due, and it's time to inform them of why. So here he is, talking to these faces gawking, wide open mouthed in the sky. As Gabriel hovered, he felt deeply bothered that this was really a bit of a shambles. Teenagers, brickies, now this group of thickies, they seem such ordinary gambles. Here's God, planning to save everyone from the grave, and you'd think he'd be quite risk-averse, keep his cards to his chest and use only the best, not entrust everything to the worst. It was almost as though he was trying to show he didn't need forceful or clever. Give him any lame horses or dodgy resources, he was going to fix it, whatever. Gabriel thought back a bit, and it started to fit. When considering what it all meant, God's resolute choices of renegade voices were more than an accident. He thought down the ages of prophets and sages whose hopes of success seemed like zero. Abraham, Nehemiah, David, Ruth, Jeremiah, each one an improbable hero. He thought of the stories of unlikely glories of Joseph sold off without pity, of Gideon the nerd and Elisha, absurd, and a brass band that blew down a city. For that's how it is, this behaviour of his is modus operandi, to choose the obscure or the dull or the poor, frankly, anyone who's handy. And at last it was plain to his angelic brain that the God he was messaging for would be nobody now, so that all, anyhow, would be somebody forevermore. Gabriel took up his scroll and let it unroll and said, "Okay, you lot, listen up. Those who told you the prize is reserved for the wise would appear to have sold you a pup. For a saviour is born this remarkable morn, and his name, it is Christ the Lord." Then he added a bit that seemed awfully fit, but that Luke somehow didn't record. "One day this child will see men reconciled in a world that's been turned upside down, where the best will be worst and the last will be first, and a beggar can carry a crown. You'll find him down there in a room cold and bare, and it looks like a pauper's birth. But what's born here is peace that will spread without cease till it reaches all people on earth." Then the angels joined in with a heavenly din, "Deo gloria in excelsis, for the child that's now grown and the grace that's been shown is ours and everyone else's." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shepherd. Right, I'll give these a wash and they might appear at Oasis sometime, drying dishes. Thanks very much, Angel. Thank you very much. Round of applause for the Angel Gabriel and the Shepherd and Mabel. Mabel, you can stand the rest of the service.
Right, okay, what next? After that hilarity. Going to sing a song again. "Sweet Chiming Bells, Christmas Bells." Again, if you'd like to stand, please do. If you want to sit, please sit down. If you've got any bells, please ring them.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Sweet bells, sweet chiming Christmas bells. Sweet bells, sweet chiming Christmas bells. And cheer us on a heavenly world, sweet chiming bells.
We're going to take the collection next. And we're going to do it today to a video. So we might take the lights down a bit. So I hope you're okay in a little bit of dark. This is a new song by Matt Redman. And it's called When We Behold. And I loved it as soon as I heard it. And the reason I loved it, apart from being a nice catchy song, is because at the end, there's a refrain which takes us forward to Easter and reminds us why it is we celebrate this baby birth. And the refrain is, and when we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, we sing how he came on so holy a night, born for a death that became our new life. So if the stewards would like to bring round the bags and the boxes, and we'll stay seated and we'll watch the video at the same time.
The wondrous cross on which Prince of Glory died. We sing how he came on so holy a night, born for a death that became our new life.
So, Father, we thank you for these gifts. We ask that you would direct us to use them wisely. We ask that you would bless the children that we sponsor. That's William, Key, Akin, Willen, Sidone, Rahima, and Hope, the unknown little child from Open Doors. We ask that you would, through these gifts, bless those children's lives. And we also ask that you would bless the children in the room today, those who are going to class, those who are maybe not going to class, but we ask that the ones who are going to class, Lord, you would bless them through the message and bless the Sunday school teachers as they speak your word to these precious children of ours. Amen. And so any children that would like to go out into the foyer with Judith and, is it Mel? Mel, Judith? So anybody who would like to go? And we're going to sing a song as you go. It's for any age, the Sunday school. Well, maybe not over 18. going to sing Mary's Boy Child. I don't think we, well, Susie says we've never sung this here before. The reason I was my attention was caught to it is we had the University Carol Service this week, and we always have some of the academy, primary academies, come and sing songs for us at the Carol Service. And one of them sang this this song, and they changed the words. So instead of singing and man will live forevermore, they changed it and we will sing forevermore. And it really spoke to me and thought, yes, when you say a man will live forevermore, it just kind of patters off. It's words that we hear every Christmas, but we don't think what they mean. But as soon as you sing, and we will live forevermore, it just enhances what the message of Christmas is. So there's one small change to the words that maybe you're not quite familiar with. But again, stand if you'd like, or sit if you prefer, and we'll sing Mary's Boy Child.
Christmas Day.
Thank you. Take a seat. So just before Alistair comes to speak to us, we're going to have a short time of prayer. So you can just stay in your seats, close your eyes, and just be still for a moment. And in this quiet space, try to listen to the voice of Jesus speaking into your heart. Lord, we come to you now out of the busyness of our lives, the busyness of our minds, and we focus on you and ask that you will speak to us and speak through us. And using the words of our first song today, longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. And we come today, Lord, with different lives, different worries, different joys. Some of us feel swamped by the darkness, unsure of our next steps, unsure what to think. May we find truth and direction as we spend this time with you. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. So many parts of the world which are troubled, Lord. Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, that whole eastern area, Ukraine, Sudan. We lift these nations up to you, we lift these people up to you and ask that peace and reconciliation and love and healing may wash over them right now. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts. Longing for food, many are hungry. Longing for water, many still thirst. So many people are short of food. And we thank you, Lord, for the work of food banks across the country and here in Sandbach. We thank you for the pantry. We thank you for the people who give their time and their money to these services. Bless their work and fill their shelves by your power, that people may know that you are God the provider. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. What can we say, Lord? Our rich and prosperous nation is full of people who don't have shelter, don't have a home, don't have a place of safety to retreat to at the end of the day. May you be their shelter and their safety, and may you guide them to places they can call home and people who can help them. Christ, be their light, shine in their hearts. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. We have shared time and gifts and praise this morning, and we have been strengthened. We thank you for your provision to us, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you that at Christmas time, we can celebrate your amazing goodness to us in sending us a Saviour who took our badness and paid the price for it so that we don't need to. We ask that you would be close to the people in our fellowship who need your special touch. And you know who they are, Lord, and you know what they need. But we particularly remember this morning George Bayliss still in hospital, Jenny Tunley's daughter Jill as she recovers from her operation, Judith's nephew Zach in hospital, Debbie Cooper's daughter returned from hospital, Jill Bell and her son Chris with their many medical complaints, and Susie, who's probably not made it today because of her wheelchair breakage. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts. And now, Lord, we lift up Alistair to you, asking that you will bless him and bless his future plans, and that this morning you will shine through him as he brings the message you have laid on his heart. May your words through him reach into our hearts. Amen.
So thanks ever so much to Andrea for leading us into God's presence this morning. Picture the first Christmas in your mind. I guess the sort of pictures that come to mind will be from maybe Christmas cards or medieval art or maybe even school nativity plays. Let me challenge some of those pictures. So for instance, there is no mention of Mary and Joseph riding on a donkey. Luke only tells us they arrived in Bethlehem, not how they got there. There's no mention of an innkeeper. Luke only tells us there is no guest room available for them. There's no mention of an ox and a lamb keeping time. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. There's no mention of Jesus not crying. Even though one of our beloved carols says, no crying he makes. There's no mention of three wise men, only that they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's no mention of them being kings. We three kings of Orient are, or maybe are not. And I'm sorry, there is no mention of them riding camels. And speaking of the wise men, there's no mention of them being there at the same time as Jesus was born, because Matthew tells us in his account that they arrived sometime later when Jesus was a little child, maybe about 18 months old. So I'm really sorry, I have completely messed up that manger scene that you see on all the Christmas cards. And then of course there are the shepherds and the nice Christmas cards with nice shepherds looking after nice sheep, like that one, sitting around a nice campfire singing nice songs, is probably a little bit exaggerated. Let's think about the shepherds for a moment. I mean, throughout Israel's history, shepherds have a long and noble time, don't they? Who's the first shepherd mentioned in the Bible? Well, it's Abel. And then Abraham's a shepherd, Moses is a shepherd, David is a shepherd, Amos is a shepherd, but by the time we get to the first century, being a shepherd had lost some of its luster. So, for instance, shepherds are separated from people for long, long periods of time. So they can't keep the ceremonial law that's so important to the religious people of the day. Shepherds had a reputation for having sticky fingers. They often confused thine with mine. They couldn't be trusted. They couldn't be legal witnesses in a court of law. As far as most people were concerned, shepherds were not much better than gamblers and tax collectors. Now, we are not told what these shepherds were like, but clearly they come from a class that is despised. So we'll have a look at their story this morning. And first of all, I want to say that there is an awesome encounter. We've already seen that in that wonderful sketch earlier with our fantastic angel and shepherds. So there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And you may know that in the Bible, whenever angels turn up, people are usually terrified. And these shepherds, they shake in their sandals. Maybe they are wondering whether this is an angel of judgment. Could be, couldn't they? Maybe this is their time. Their sticky fingers have caught up with them. The fighting, the brawling, the bad language, the bad behavior. This is payback time. Your sins will find you out. Well, maybe. Their sins have well and truly found them out. Whatever may be the case, these shepherds are terrified. And here's the point I want to make. Sometimes God meets us where we are, and then he brings us to our knees. He meets us where we are, he brings us to our knees. And that will be many of your testimony this morning. Maybe you were just like those shepherds. You were getting on with your life. You were at school, you were at work, you were at home, you were at church. And then somebody shared with you the good news about Jesus. Maybe it's that person you were at school with, that person you work with, who spoke so powerfully about Jesus, who told you their story. Maybe it's that teacher in the Sunday school, that youth leader, that preacher, that speaker, who spoke so powerfully about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it was that mum, that dad, that person in your family who made Jesus known to you from your earliest days. Whatever may be the case, there was a point when you realized that you were a sinner who needed a saviour, and you humbled yourself before the Lord. Maybe you even physically got down on your knees and you confessed your failures, your sins, those words, those thoughts, those actions, those good things that you never did. And you cried out to God and you sought his forgiveness and you asked him to give you the grace to turn away from all that is wrong in your life, and you trusted him as your saviour, your Lord, your friend. God met you where you were, just like those shepherds, and he brought you to your knees. Maybe there's another sense in which we need to be brought to our knees. I just wonder if it has been so long since you were truly in awe of Jesus. You know, sometimes we can have this sort of almost air of mediocrity and familiarity about our faith. Maybe it's been a long, long time since you were truly in awe of Jesus. So maybe this Christmas is a time just to reflect on the mystery and the miracle of the incarnation. The infinite became an infant. The great I am became incarnate. The ancient of days became the infant of days. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Wonder if it's a long time since you've been in awe of Jesus. Here's how Jim Packer put it. He's a well-known Anglican theologian. Just reflect on these words. They're very, very simple. He says, the divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby. unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. So consider Jesus. Know Jesus. Look to Jesus. Think about who it is, who you love, who you trust, who you worship. This Christmas, stand in awe of him and give him glory that's due to his name. Then there is the astonishing message, and here it comes. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Three wonderful titles there. He is the Saviour, he is the Messiah, he is the Lord. He is the Saviour. Do you know who else proclaimed himself as Saviour round about the same time as Jesus? Caesar Augustus. You can read about him in verse 1. He proclaimed he's the saviour of the world. Not one to boast. The saviour of the common people. Saviour of the world. But the true saviour of the world, of course, isn't found in an imperial propaganda from Rome. It's a divine message from heaven. It's not Caesar Augustus in Rome, it's the baby lying in a manger. And now he offers salvation to all who turn away from their sins and welcome him as their saviour. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the special deliverer, the true king of the world. He is the Lord, the one of all authority and power. Majesty. Simple question, I guess, is whether he is Saviour, Messiah, Lord, to you, to me. I love the way Corrie ten Boom puts it in one of her books. She said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. Is he Saviour, Messiah, Lord, to you? It's really interesting that livestock, like the little sheep there, within a certain circumference of Jerusalem, was reserved for sacrifice in the temple. Bethlehem lies within that circumference. So it could be that these shepherds are looking after sheep that are going to be reserved for sacrifice in the temple. And now these same shepherds, they're coming to see the true Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord, the good shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep. And this good shepherd, well, he loves us so much that he is going to sacrifice his life for you and for me, for our salvation. This good shepherd loves us so much that he's going to be with us every moment of every day. I mean, Jesus himself talks about the false shepherds. Do you remember them? Remember what Jesus said? He said they scamper away into the darkness at the first sign of trouble. But this shepherd, he's going to stay with his sheep. He loves them. He cares for them. He walks with them. He is always with them. Isn't it good to know that whatever our circumstances may be, whatever our failures, our fears, our frustrations, whatever the future might hold, here's the good shepherd who loves you more than you can ever know and will never let you go. This good shepherd loves us so much, he goes on ahead of us. Remember one man and his dog? Remember the English shepherds or the United Kingdom shepherds trying to round up their sheep with their calls and their whistles and the sound of their voice? In this country, shepherds, if you like, pushed the sheep. In the time of Jesus, shepherds led the sheep. from the front. So the sheep watch them and they know them, they recognize the sound of their voices. Isn't it good to know that this good shepherd goes on ahead of us, clearing the way, leading us into green pastures, protecting us from danger. And this good shepherd is our peace. You know what sheep are like. They're very easily agitated and distressed. Always very tense if they can't see the shepherd. They can't hear his voice. And if you watch the news, there is so much in this world to trouble us and to disturb us, to make us feel very, very uneasy. This changing, stressful, turbulent world. But there is one who breathes calm and peace and rest into your heart, into my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his wonderful words? Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful encouragement? Peace in the troubled, turbulent, stressful world. An astonishing message. And there is an amazing response, and here it comes. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, I'd like to add at that point, and the shepherds picked themselves up off the floor, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They are such familiar words. You know the story back to front. It probably won't come as a surprise if I tell you that Christmas is busy. I mean, be honest, you are always busy, aren't you? Never enough hours in the day for anything, is there? Always busy. It's just, I guess, that Christmas is even more busy, isn't it? Never mind the most wonderful time of the year. Sadly, so often it's the most stressful time of the year, isn't it? Well, what we've got here is the first Christmas rush. So Mary and Joseph, they hurry off. And they find, the shepherds hurry off and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. I wonder if that surprises you. I mean, normally shepherds have to be very gentle, very calm, very patient in their movement because you know what sheep are like. But these shepherds, they pretty well do a runner, don't they? They hurry off and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And I wonder if they asked for a cuddle. I mean, that would be absolutely awesome, wouldn't it? These shepherds who know how to appreciate and care for a lamb are holding the Lamb of God, the Saviour of the world. These shepherds who know what the ultimate fate of a lamb usually is, and I won't unpack that, actually they're holding the one who is the Lamb of God, who will lay down his life upon a cross. And just check out the ironies in the story there. I mean, these shepherds are despised by everyone. They are unclean as far as most people are concerned. And they see the one who is majestic in holiness and awesome in glory. That's an irony, isn't it? I mean, these shepherds hurry off and they leave their sheep behind. And these shepherds know that their livelihood depends on safeguarding these sheep. But they're willing to leave everything for the sake of the baby lying in the manger, the Saviour of the world. I just wonder, what are we willing to sacrifice for the sake of Jesus? It's a real challenge, isn't it? Left everything for this baby, this saviour. And maybe the shepherds remind us even of another shepherd hundreds of years earlier. Remember David? King David used to hang about in the same sort of area, looking after sheep. King David with his sheep. And now the shepherds, well, they found the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of David, the one who will reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over all creation, for all eternity. Hail to the Lord's anointed. Remember the next line from the old hymn? Great David's greater son, son of David. And they worship him. And then verse 17 says this. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Again, that's quite interesting. They don't talk about the angels. They don't even talk about Mary and Joseph. The one thing they want to talk about is this child, this Jesus, this good news. And I wonder if he is good news to you. I wonder if he's saviour to you. I guess if he isn't, then like those shepherds, you need to go and see him. You need to meet him. You need to welcome him into your life. If he is, then I guess we need to share him. I mean, there comes a time when you've seen, so you need to share. Seeing and sharing. And look at the response. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I'd love to get that response when I preach Sunday by Sunday. Would you not like to get it when you share your faith in Jesus with your family and your friends and your neighbours? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they said, you know, that's absolutely amazing. Never heard anything like it. Well, there's a prayer for you this Christmas. Number one, pray for an opportunity to share the good news of the Saviour. And number two, pray about the response. Maybe someone in your family, your friend, your neighbour, the people you work with, at school with, maybe they could just be amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The message of the Christmas story. The Saviour. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Again, I like that because they didn't just sort of think about it or try and get their heads around it or wonder about it. They glorified and praised and worshipped God. And I guess for me, that is, I think, a sign of true conversion, isn't it? Because when you truly know Christ, you will glorify God. You will praise God. You will worship God. So this Christmas, just adore him. Just glorify him, praise and worship him. Well, here's the good news for you. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Three simple questions again. Is he Saviour to you? Is he Messiah to you? Is he Lord to you? And if he is, will you come and adore him? Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we do thank you that in our world where there is so much bad news day after day, there is still this glorious good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would help us just to examine our hearts this morning, that we might truly know that he is our Saviour, our Messiah, and our Lord. And we also pray, Father, that over this Christmas time, that you will just help us to rediscover that sense of awe at who Jesus is and all that he has done. So day by day, in this time of Advent, this time of Christmas, may we come and may we adore him. We ask it all in his name. Amen. Now, just before we sing our final song, I want another short video to show you. Some of you will be familiar with The Chosen. The Chosen's on the telly. It's a TV series on Netflix. It's based on the life of Jesus, and it's sort of seen through the eyes of those who knew him. And one of the episodes is called The Shepherds. And I just want to show, I think it's about a 5-minute clip. It's called The Shepherd, and it really tries to bring to life the story of the shepherds coming to visit Mary and Joseph and Jesus. So hopefully it'll just sum up all that we've seen and shared this morning. Thanks very much, Danny.
Shall call his name Emmanuel.
So beautiful.
We must tell someone.
We must tell everyone.
We must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
He's on.
Yes, he's on.
Oh, it's okay. What will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. We must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
Government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
You! I told you not to come back here. So where is it? Have you found a spotless lamb for sacrifice?
So we will close our service with one final song, and we're going to sing together It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, that glorious song of old. And we'll add in a chorus, glorious, my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord.
Thank you.
And let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you again for the good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And we pray that we'll share this great and glorious message of hope and love to others as we go out from here. And please guide us and help us and bless us as we continue to celebrate the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we stand in awe of him. Amen.